Hey guys, and welcome to the All Things MMA podcast. It's episode 29, I think. We should really check that about a minute ago before I started to clicked. Okay, I'm sitting here with Chris. How you doing, Chris, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Other than I see a thumb, a burst lip, and a sore jaw, I'm all good.
Well, at least you're on the All Things MMA podcast, so it kind of goes, eh?
Paul decided to take a slap at me. I didn't do the dishes.
My work asked me to take a picture of me working from home with MMA in the background. I'm not sure that quite gives off the right vibe, to be honest. Corey watching Corey would be more appropriate.
It's like that. Either accept my sales pitch, or I can't not do it fine, but I can't have to talk about it.
Totally. What did you make of the weekend's cards? I was just going through them just now. I was probably start off having a talk through the Bellator's card.
The Bellator card, I preferred watching the Bellator fights. I don't know if it was just because maybe I was like,
totally
because obviously with Carl and all the rest of it coming on the show before and whatnot. I like watching that James Gallagher fight as well. Just because he's kind of like got that cocky type thing and all the rest of it. He's got a good personality for fighting. So, I enjoyed watching, and I like the fact that it's on at a reasonable time. That's probably the main reason.
Yeah.
Being on at a good time definitely helps. So, I liked the Bellator card. I was gutted that Kyle lost. But then the UFC, I actually went to the gym and went on the Stairmaster and just put it on and watched a hell of a lot of the fights on that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was good. We just started off with the main event in Bellator. It was over in Milan, which is pretty cool. There was a lot of kind of UK-based fighters there. A lot of just all English fights and a lot of Irish as well. So,
yep.
Obviously, Cal, I think he started off and he looked pretty good. He was obviously, there's a big height difference in the two.
Massive height difference. He had the reach advantage as well, and I kind of thought he was going to stay on the outside and, you know, kind of like work his, like a bit kickboxing and whatnot against James, but James just waited for him to kind of throw that kick and just kind of got him and then got him on the ground, and it was...
Yeah, he's actually pretty good, James Gallagher. He has the hyper's rule, and he is good, man. He's grappling. His MMA grappling's unreal.
This was probably one of, if not the most, I've actually been invested in a fight, kind of watching it to like praying and hoping, and the guy kind of seen like when they had him on the ground, I was just like, just make it to the end of the round. Just make it to the end of the round. We were talking about this.
So it was a long minute, I think. Just dying for the escape. But he'll bounce back for this.
Oh, for sure.
I'm quite respectful at the end, which I kind of like, because there's a bit of animosity the event had obviously made several times. So,
obviously, I think Coward says something like, yeah, about his mum passing and things like that, and I think this was kind of hanging over his head a wee bit and stuff like that. So,
yeah. I seen him out in Milan afterwards with an ice cream and a Burberry shirt, so he looked like he was having fun. Already, so I'm sure he'll pick himself up. But it'd be interesting to see where James Gallagher goes. He says he wants a big bag of money and he wants to fight fucking everyone, so let's see what happens. What else is on the card? Go to the Kiefer Crosby fight. That was one of the best rounds I've ever seen of MMA, actually, just in terms of scrappiness and just like heart and determination, not in terms of technical ability, to be fair. He was just running it on his hands down.
Kiefer was just letting him, to be honest with you, we spoke about this, and Kiefer was just kind of letting Charlie just punch him. It was as though he didn't really respect Charlie, because obviously I'm being maybe a bit taller and quite skinny. I think he just thought that he didn't have the power and whatnot, but when Charlie got off the combinations, he was hurting him, and I didn't think he realised it until it was a bit too late. You know, it was kind of like a difference between an ice pick and a sledgehammer type thing. It was just kind of chipping away, and I thought he was lucky to kind of get out that round. I thought, well, 10 seconds, it was close. It was really close. Kind of gotten to see it obviously being called off by the ref, because he did look quite fresh coming out again, like in the second round, but the doctor obviously must have known. Did you see anything actually wrong with the eye? I'm not seeing a post-fight or anything like that that actually kind of like went, like normally you would kind of see a release kind of saying, look, that like in the heat of the moment, the guys are always kind of like really angry with the doctors and things like that. But normally after they kind of cool down, they go, look, it's probably for the best and whatnot. But he's not really released anything that I've seen.
Nah, I didn't see much wrong with it either. I quite like his nickname though, Big Daddy. You could tell he kind of wasn't happy with his last performance and just wanted a knockout and just wanted to stand and bang and not make it boring, not wrestle. But then again, he risks the losing the fight, which he did. And Charlie Leary's got, 29 fights on his record? I think he's 21 and 9 or something like that. So he's an experienced guy. He's had a lot of fights. Kiefer's only had, he's 8-2 now.
Yeah.
7-1 before the fight. So it's only tasted a loss once. So
your maths didn't work out there, dude.
He was
7-1 before the fight. Anyway.
1 + 1 = -1. It was you don't get a banana loss for losing a fight. Good spot.
Moving on. Kavanagh, the women's fight.
She's a bruiser.
You came my feelings on most female MMA fights. The first round tends to be the same as the second, tends to be the same as the third. By that point, I'm asleep. It was pretty much the same on this one. Although what I was really impressed with was her boxing. That was just, she was just so impressive. Just her jab, her footwork and her head movement. I think she really needs to work on her ground game. I think she'd be in a lot of trouble if she went up against someone that could kind of manage to get her to the ground and keep her on the ground. But
there might be ways going into the fight. They're obviously fighting at 145 pounds featherweight.
Yeah.
So there must be about 160, 170 pounds. Probably not far off what we are.
I'm a wee bit away from 170, but I'll take it.
Like glasses.
Big bird.
The Charlie Ward fight was quite boring. I went to say it was quite good. I actually was not. It was Buzz. Yeah, it's not good at all. Yeah, he just wanted to stand and bang. The guy just kept taking him down. The guy looked so tired. He was in shape. After 5 minutes, he was absolutely fucked.
He's the first round. I thought the first round was quite good. And then I'm pretty sure he was sick on the stool and stuff. Like, I think he was. And then Charlie Ward stood up and he was like, I hope you're not getting tired on me or something like that.
He's 23-9 as well, Andre Manzolo.
Yeah.
So he's had a lot of fights, had a lot of experience. You wouldn't expect somebody who is, he's 36, I guess, he's kind of in his twilight years, but still, his fitness just wasn't there at all.
Nah, I think maybe just panicked, holding his breath, all the rest of it, probably scared, maybe a wee bit scared of the power type thing. And he was, it's quite common when someone's kind of thrown punches and thrown feints to, rather than breathe and kind of try and keep calm, a lot of the times you'll hold your breath and kind of like shell up and whatnot, and that will gash you, and it just builds up, and then the wrestling and obviously the jiu-jitsu on the ground, it probably took quite a lot out of him. And Charlie Ward is a big, big lad.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look like a middleweight.
Nah, so...
I don't understand how he is a middleweight. He must cut a lot of weight and put a lot back on in a short period because he looks...
So, no. And then you had the Bungard.
Yeah, the bad guy. He didn't look good at all, to be honest.
He just didn't show up, I think. Personally, I think there's someone wasn't right there. He was slow. He was slow and he was really weak. I felt like where he normally excels, and Chris normally gets guys to the ground and he's really strong and he kind of bullies them on the ground and just kind of starts taking over the ground and pound, grabs them wrists and with the wrist control. But there was none of that, not at all. Reversed on the cage and whatnot. I wouldn't be surprised if there was something comes out and kind of like I think there was something wrong with him. I don't think it was just a case of a better opponent. I don't think it was a better opponent at all. I just think that maybe Chris just had an off night that I think you'll find that there's probably something
to do with that. Probably agree. I think Chris Bungard made Aymar Gui look good. I don't think he is that good, to be honest. But
no.
Yeah, you're right, he just looked a bit under, I don't know, didn't look hyped up for the fight at all. Even at the end, he tried to convince himself that he'd won, tried to put his hand up, like, yeah, he could just tell his face, he's like, I thought he might have, though, because he did actually have a lot of ground control and take him a few times. I thought, do you want, these are one of the ones where he could actually end up winning it. But I didn't. I was happy he didn't, because Guy put on a better performance than him, so...
It's a hard one not to be biased with these type of situations, but at the same time, we would absolutely be raging if the shoe was on another foot. So you can
You've seen the fight earlier in the night where Nathan Jessimer was fighting, who fights from Scotland as well. He was against a guy who's coached by John Carver, Azal Adouj. I'm totally butchering that name also, but. He got totally outclassed, but he looked really good. The guy who was in fighting out of John Kavanagh's SBG.
Yeah.
You came on a record of 0-1-0. And I was like, so he's only had one fight and he's lost it. But he looked shit hot. He looked class. He's 6 foot and he's 145 pounds. So he's quite a big guy for the weight as well.
If he's 0-1-0, is that not a draw?
No.
I'm not convincing your math right now, so we'll...
I've got it in front of me here. I'm just going to share my screen just to prove a point, you prick. Here we go. So right now I've got on screen Nathan Jessimer's record is 1-2-0.
No, okay.
There's no way he's drew two fights out of his three.
Nah.
Fuck. Between us... I think, was there any other fights really on that? Not really. There was actually an absolute class dust-up between the Italian and the Spanish guy. I've got it on the screen.
This was a good fight. Now, the Italian, he didn't look too great, but he just kind of, like, he just had a dog and he just kept on coming forward. That first round, I think he thought he was maybe going to be the stronger out of the two.
Blood and sweat in the fucking in the octagon was crazy.
Aye. And I think he got an elbow to the head, or there was something, and it opened up a big cut. Mm-hmm. And he was bleeding something off. Like, he was absolute bleeding.
An offy.
Bleeding offy.
UFC card. I watched some of this on the Saturday. I think you did too, and then some out on the Sunday.
Yep.
I thought the lineup was really weirdly structured. They had good fights like Carlos Condit on the prelims, and they had like Jorgen De Castro co-main event in it.
Now, I think that this was more. I think it's more just to kind of try and get people on the, because obviously it's the ESPN and the ESPN Plus, isn't it? Like, type of thing. So I think. Yeah. I think it's all a day we like try to get eyes on certain things.
Yeah, I just signed up for ESPN yesterday. It cost me a tenner for the month, and I realised I signed up for the American version. They don't show any UFC whatsoever, so totally fucked the job. Total waste of money. Don't want to watch any NFL. Any NFL? Can't even fucking say the three letters, to be honest.
And then never know.
That American football thing. But yeah. Just start from the bottom. Did you see Luigi Vedramini? I'm saying that right. It's head kick. It was a beast.
He set it up so fast. And there was no telegraphing that kick at all. Mm-hmm. Just so fast. And flush clean to the dome.
He's probably going to be quite a good fighter going forward then, because Yesenia Yari and Stevie Ray beat him by quite a close decision. So if this guy's knocking him out in the first round, one minute. I mean, Stevie's done pretty well. He's obviously beat Michael Johnson. So I didn't actually watch the Casey Kenny versus Healy Alateng fight. But apparently it was good. Did you see it at all? Apparently just used him as a boxing bag.
I missed that one. Because I can't remember how. But I missed that. I think I might have fell asleep. I think I started watching it. And then I fell asleep. This is a problem with the UFC being on so late. I hate it. But no, I missed that one. And
then I phoned them on it.
Yeah, I was watching it and I was killed.
Yeah. Did you? I didn't watch the next one either.
I actually did watch this one.
Yeah. What's the woman's name?
It was Loma.
Loma. Yeah.
Loma Lukubumi. And the other lassie was called Jean Yufrey or something like that. Jean Yufrey. The Loma girl is Thai, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And Thai Clinch just, she was actually really good. I think a slight mismatch. Jean Yufrey needed to use more of her wrestling. Her coaches were screaming at her. Our coach, I think, might have been her husband or something like that. Going into when she was coming off the stool, going into the last round, he was like that. Like, he was proper, kind of in her face, kind of swearing at her, telling her, you need to finish this girl. Get the double leg, get her to the ground. She didn't try and wrestle the whole time. The Thai girl, Loma, she managed to, like, she was putting her up against the cage and just tie clinching at the back of the head and just knees, elbows. She was doing those tomahawk elbows, like, clean, like, every single time, landing it well. I'm actually quite invested in this, considering it's a female fight. Let's get scared, but I was quite interested just to watch. It was a bit of a masterclass just from, like, obviously, like, the, like, kind of like the Thai kind of style of fighting.
Yeah.
But then Jean Yufrey going out on the third round, like, within 10 seconds or so, she shot double legged, got her to the ground, and controlled her there for maybe a minute or so. I think maybe even longer. And I was just like, why did you not do this at the start? And she'll be kicking herself. She'll be coming away for that one, realizing that she had such a massive advantage on the ground and just didn't take it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my opinion on that one.
I'll definitely remember her name, that's for sure. The next one, Jordan Williams. This was the guy who's got diabetes. Fresh Contender series about a month ago. Yeah, he showed heart from the start.
Loved the fight. Clash of the
Imavov. Very difficult names to say tonight. I'm just not on a roll. This was, I don't think it was the most exciting fight, to be honest. I thought Jordan showed some heart. I thought that guy looked technically quite good.
Obviously, Williams gassed after, I would say, kind of gassed after the first round, but I thought it was a brilliant fight. Just kept him coming forward. He was taking a punch to give a punch. He was getting outclassed towards the end, but really the clash of the heads and again getting dropped and flipped him a few times. It was good. I actually enjoyed that fight, to be honest with you. I've definitely seen worse.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would agree. That Jordan Williams, it just looked like he was running on pure adrenaline. There was no gas in the tank whatsoever. Just walking forward. How is this guy still lasting? So fair play. The next one, Charles Air Jordan versus Josh Coolable. This was a class fight. This is probably one of my favourites of the whole card. Charles Jordan, I've watched him a few times, actually. He's really exciting. He just throws such an array of strikes.
Flying knees, everything. That's what he says in the ten. He's interesting to watch. Quite cool, quite fast.
Yeah, got dropped in the first round.
Hmm?
Got dropped in the first round.
Aye, I thought it was getting close.
Yeah, I thought his nose was potentially broken as well. That's what they were saying on the commentary.
Yeah, it was. It was a good fight. I quite liked it. Obviously, it finished in a draw.
Mm-hmm.
I actually gave it to Charles Jordan the second and the third.
Yes, did I?
I was quite surprised that it was a draw. I did think that Charles Jordan got that, but it was a good fight.
Josh Coolable looked way better as well. In his first fight, he fought against Jalen Turner, and he fought up 15 pounds. Jalen Turner's a hard guy to go against. It's your natural weight. Never mind fighting up 15 pounds.
Yeah.
So I felt it was good that he came in, put on a good performance and showed his stuff in the UFC. Felt good for him.
And am I right in saying that one of these guys came in short notice? One of them did.
Potentially. Not quite sure. Maybe Charles Jordan did.
Yeah.
In the main event, Carlos Condit, natural born killer, versus Court McGee. I just loved how Court McGee's nose went off to the left. And he just put it back into place.
Yeah, I think it happened the first, and then he actually released a statement on his Instagram, mm-hmm. basically saying that he knew it was broken, and his actual quote was, "I smashed it back into place, getting off the stool, and then going into the second." I'm like, that's a badass.
Yeah, he's a wild man. I think he's one of the guys. I think he's had so many fights and he's so experienced, but he's just so traditional in what he does that he's never going to be.
Like, yeah,
do you know what I mean? He's good at what he does, and he can beat some people, but he's never going to beat the best.
No, but I still watch him. He's good to watch. He always puts on a decent enough fight, but I think there's enough tape out there to know him. And yeah.
In the morning,
you can plan to beat him. You can plan to beat him.
Mhm, mhm. Condit looked good.
Yeah, I was kind of glad because obviously I feel as though Condit, well, he did. He got robbed his last fight. He got absolutely robbed.
Who was that against?
What was it? This annoys me when you ask me for people's names because I'm always terrible at remembering people's names.
The UFC website's not the best for showing you either. We obviously got it up on the screen, but you can't see it at a glance who his last fight was. But it's crap because I've never really seen the best of Carlos Condit. I've only probably got into the sport in the last 4 years or something. So I've never seen what he can actually do. But there's talk of him potentially fighting either Matt Brown or Nick Diaz.
I think if Nick Diaz comes back, they'll be giving him a much bigger name.
Yeah, I think so. It'd be a good place to start, though.
Yeah, it would be a good fight to come back for Nick Diaz rather than obviously giving him like a Colby Covington or something like that.
Yeah.
But you can name what the UFC is like. They didn't care about the long term picture. They just want their fistful of money straight away.
Totally. Kyle Matrick Phillips. So I watched this guy in the Ultimate Fighter, and he never had that hair. He had really short hair. So that's why I never recognised him first. I knew the name, but I just wasn't putting the face with it. But he's brilliant, man. I watched him a few times. He's just so fucking good everywhere. He finished this fight pretty dominantly. He was on top of him. He beat him on the ground. He was beating him standing. I felt quite sorry for Cameron Hill, who's a decent fighter in his own right. But it's like, you do if the guy's just beating you everywhere.
I feel as though the fight was kind of going on. Like it could have been stopped a bit quicker as well. I mean, I think it was like 45 seconds or something like that in the second round. Mm-hmm. It could have been finished a hell of a lot quicker. But
no, I agree. Phillips was happy to be there on Fight Island as well. He was like, I love Fight Island. It's a great place. It's like, get another fight.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go far. I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be really good. I could see him being a kind of contender for the title at some point.
And then you said your Jermaine Durandamy.
Oh, now before that, we had the Dequan Townsend versus Dusko. We'll just quickly touch on this fight because I don't think you've seen this one, did you? But that Dusko looked really good, man. He looked really good. He's a Serbian guy off the Contender Series. Apparently, didn't fight well in the Contender Series, but he absolutely smashed Dequan Townsend. About Dequan Townsend, took so much punches on the feet. Like, holy shit. That was one of the most punches I've taken somebody taken in a short space of time.
Want to go back and watch?
Yeah, no, it was good. And then you had, like you said, Jermaine Durandamy versus Juliana Pena. That Juliana Pena is a, as Brendan Schaub would say, dime piece.
Yeah, we dime.
Yeah, she's tidy. But yeah, it was a pretty decent fight, actually. I thought Juliana Pena looked good. I thought they both looked good, both on the ground as well. Quite a lot of submission attempts in the whole fight.
Yeah, it was good. This is why, as I say, I always feel bad for kind of slagging off female fighters, because when you get two that are really good, it makes for an interesting fight. I feel as though, technically, when you watch them, try to pull up the submissions, there was the Kimuras, the arm bars, they were both going, the heel hooks, they were going for it. I enjoyed that fight.
It was good. It was cool to see Durandamy in the Pulse Fight interview, because she's never got a submission before. She's been around for a while. She's the first women's featherweight champion. And then she obviously dropped down a division.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Juliana Pena was totally out of the game though after it. It's quite scary to see that sometimes when they are completely like in the ref, because they're in a position that the ref can't see them.
Yeah, it's
are awake or not?
It was. I think she took ages to kind of come back around, didn't she?
Yeah, no, she did a bit. And then you had Nicole Main, you had Jorgen De Castro. Did you see this fight?
I've not watched this one. I watched those at the Holmes, but then
he was a standout performer in this fight. Kevin Sitake, he just kept breaking it up because every time they kept hugging on the cage, he was just like, "Nah, fight." He just kept breaking up. He's like, "Stand. We want to see some action here." I usually disagree with that, but they were just cuddling and not doing anything. There was no attempts at changing level or anything. So
when it goes all three rounds at obviously a heavyweight fight. For a co-main event, unless there's like some serious like good scraps and like in all three rounds, you can tend to find that it's just a like swing and miss, hug and hope type thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
fights always better let down.
Yeah, one of the boys who was fighting didn't try and hug and was trying to scrap, and then he called out for these like Dana White on the performance tonight. I was like, no chance. But Holly Holm obviously went the decision with Irani Aldana.
Holly Holm, she's huge, isn't she? When you see her fighting, and
yeah, she's strong,
phenomenal. Like she just throws them like she almost. I feel as though she throws her kicks better than she almost throws her hands.
Yeah, nah, she totally does, man. She's one of the most decorated boxers in women's history. But you wouldn't think it. You think she's a kickboxer.
Yeah, I think she's phenomenal. Like, I've actually always kind of enjoyed watching Holly Holm fights. She just kind of like her stance and the way she controls the distance in the ring and that in the cage. It's actually really impressive.
Did you see the last like 30 seconds of her?
Grunting
so loudly, and she was just fucking going for it.
She like in the front kicks and the head kicks, and I thought like when you seen her like a couple of them landing, I was like, how is Irani Aldana still on her feet? I was quite impressed.
Totally. So all in all, pretty decent card. The female fights were really kind of, they were good.
I kind of hit on them.
No, totally. I'm just looking at some of the news articles here. And they were wanting Stephen Thompson to fight Khamzat Chimaev. He's number 5. What, if you're him, why do you take that fight?
Why would you ever take that fight? Why would you do that? Stephen Thompson, Leon Edwards. There's a fight to make.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Both are ranked as. I think that's a good fight. I think it would be an interesting fight to watch. My money would actually be on Thompson, but I've always, for some reason, I've always kind of dealt with Leon Edwards, and he's always kind of come through.
Yeah, I think he's good, man. Yeah. Did you see Adesanya? I didn't realise after the fight, I kind of missed that part where he was humping the back of Costa.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I didn't really think there was much wrong with it, to be honest. It was a wee bit disrespectful, but there was heat there and fucking just knocked the boy out. That's what it is. They're fighters, they don't even get over.
Yeah, I think after kind of beating a guy to the point that a ref has to pull you off him, you didn't really need to be doing stuff like that. So,
no, I would probably agree as well.
It's a bit disrespectful. I don't like it.
He's came out and said, "I want the rematch." I was like, "What? You're no chance you get a fucking rematch. You got absolutely pounded."
Nah, it was embarrassing.
Yeah.
But Derek Brunson's actually called out Paulo Costa.
Is he?
Yep.
I think Costa would go through Derek Brunson.
I don't know. Like, I think that'd be a good fight.
Maybe. I guess he beat Shabazzian, who's kind of out.
Yeah, I know, and he looked really good doing it.
Yeah.
He looked really good doing it. So, I'd be interested in watching that fight. I think that would be a good fight to watch. I'd be a much higher chance of you watching that than you watching an Adesanya rematch with him. Bet that way.
Yeah. John, the fight I want to see is John Jones versus Adesanya. I want to see that. I don't know what weight, don't give a fuck really. Catch weight, anyway, no weight.
Yeah, catch weight. Well, Adesanya needs to fight kickboxing at heavyweight.
Yeah, I don't think there's weights.
It must not be heavyweight as in like.
Usasi used to fight heavyweight as well.
Yeah, so it's also. Must be like super heavyweight and stuff like that in kickboxing then.
Did you see James Krause has got a fight?
Yeah. But once again, then James Krause 30. Get him no time to train and just basically throwing him in there with a killer.
I hate it
because James Krause is good and he gets some shit for being a coach and he gets some shit for being a fighter. I just don't think it's fair. It's like, give the guy a break, give him a bloody decent bit of training. But, yeah. I mean, he's game as fuck. I mean, that last fight, he was fighting the weight category above him. I think it was like, 24 hours notice? Less?
Yeah. It was less. It was crazy. Look at other fights made. The guy, Brandon Royval, who's fighting another week, he's got a fight against Alex, against Brandon Moreno. He was class to watch. I'm looking forward to that one.
I'll jump in there quickly and say, did you notice that Mike Perry was offering fans the chance to pay him to be in his corner?
Mate, I'm buying tickets. I fucking love to be in somebody's corner. Total fan.
I'll pay. I'll raw dog his missus while he's in the ring.
Yeah. He's got his missus, he's pregnant, so if you like that kind of thing, then bash on. Bash in.
Maybe Darren Till did.
Yeah. He's kind of going along with that part now. I thought he didn't like it. What was I going to say? I've seen Bobby Green's got another fight. How many times that guy must have fought? I think it was his fifth fight of the year.
Probably, yeah.
It's pretty crazy, and obviously Cody Garbrandt's out of his title fight against Deiveson Figueiredo.
That's almost, I think it's,
I don't know if he...
oh no,
hello.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, I think the platform went down. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I've got you, mate.
Yeah, I think the platform actually went down. So, apologies for anybody listening. I'll try and cut that bit out, and then you won't hear my apologies. So, I don't need to apologise. But, however, what were we chatting about?
Raw Dog and Mike Perry's misses.
He's fighting Robbie Lawler, isn't he?
Yep.
That'd be class. Looking forward to
that. That will be a good fight.
Yeah, I think they're probably in both the same position. Like they're both similar levels just now. Obviously, Robbie Lawler was a much higher level than Mike Perry has been, or is ever going to be, probably.
What I worry about on that one is, see, no matter which one looks good, neither of them they wouldn't retire. Like, I feel as though obviously Robbie's. I think I would have liked to see Robbie retire. I hate watching someone that's been so good, kind of like just be a basically a name on other people's
And reeking matchups as well, like Colby coming. They're all hard guys to fight. You're just wiry, good in the ground. Wrestling's good. I'm not saying Robbie's is not, but it's
one of the ones with the UFC. People are going to tune in to watch. Again, I would tune in to watch Robbie Lawler fight with anybody on the card. So why give them these mad matchups that it's just you kind of just kind of takes a wee bit of shine off. But then you obviously understand that he's probably making that type of money that he has to be able to fight these people.
Yeah, and plus they're trying to build people off his name, trying to build Colby. But I get what you mean. You ruin your superstars or ex superstars to build your new ones. That's just kind of their model, isn't it?
Yeah, it sucks.
So just put up this weekend's fights. You've obviously got the main event, which is Sandhagen, the Sandman, versus Marlon Magic Moraes.
Cody Sandhagen's last fight was kind of blink and done, real, wasn't it?
I think if they were to do that 10 times again, that result would be different 5 times. Go to Sandhagen 5 and Sterling 5. I think they're quite equally matched. I think it's just the way that turned out. He was quite naive .
Sterling just like became his backpack, didn't he?
But this is a really, really good card. I like how there's loads on Fight Island, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like it every week. Keep coming. Why shouldn't it?
I'm looking forward to the Bellator fights this weekend as well, especially with the fact, again, in France. Everybody must be thinking, what the hell am I doing with my hand?
They can't see anyway because I've currently got the UFC card on the screen. So,
cool.
They can still see you. You're all good. They can still see that you're a special person.
A handsome little devil is what you wanted to say there.
That's exactly what I was going to say, mate. The guy Impa was fighting on this card in the prelims, Impa Kisangnyai.
I love his photo there. It's a real good photo of him on the UFC website that they update on a weekly, daily basis.
Yeah, their website's pretty bad.
I'm pretty sure we slag this off every week.
Yeah, it's because it doesn't give us information that we need to do the podcast. That's why I should do research. I'm looking forward to the Impa fight. Chris Jukaus, his last one against Brendan Allen was a good fight, so he's exciting as well. So some of these guys are not the most well-known, but they are exciting. We've obviously got Tom Breeze, who fights at Renegade in Birmingham. He's a teammate of Aidan Lee, who we're going to have on Thursday, which I'm really excited about. Aidan's just off the back of a big head kick knockout in Bellator not long ago. So we get to chat to him about where he goes next from there.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Tom Aspinall fight. He's the guy, he fights at heavyweight, but he's like pretty slim for a heavyweight.
And he
absolutely, like, what the hell? That Jake Collier in his last fight.
He's a big guy, Tom Aspinall. He's 6'5".
But
I know what you mean, though. He's a in shape 6'5" guy.
Yeah, like for heavyweight, normally you're kind of expecting him to be carrying a few extra pounds, you know, on the belly. But he looked like an absolute beast in his last fight. I enjoy watching him. Hopefully, he looks good in this one as well.
Yeah, and his opponents. He's not got a height or a weight, so it should be a pretty easy fucking walkover for him.
It's me. I forgot to tell you, mate. I'm on my way to Fight Island.
I have to do charities. Don't have to. Just going back to the main card, Yusuf Zalal's fighting as well. He's headlining in the prelims. Mm-hmm. This guy, I think this is his fifth fight this year. He's the most active fighter in UFC this year. Wonder how some guys are just like favourites, eh? Just because of game, I guess. Game and they can make weight easy.
Yeah, and it must be location, stuff like that as well.
Right? Yeah. How
easy is it to get them into Fight Island and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where Yusuf Zalal comes from, but I think it's Morocco, so you're obviously closer than the US. Just getting the card back on the screen. had us up and down about five times.
Just trying to see if there's anything else.
Big Ben Rothwell. I like watching Big Ben. I think he's fun to watch. He's against Marcin Tybura.
That's the guy that done that creepy like WWE laugh type thing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, ho, 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 ho.
Ben Rothwell. Yeah.
Absolutely cringy as anything.
He's been around forever, man. Ben Rothwell's fought some of the biggest names in MMA.
Yeah, I know. But
his last one was against Ovince St. Peru. What'd you won? But yeah. How many fights has he had? 50 MMA fights.
Yeah.
He's fought Mark Hunt, Alistair Overeem, GDS, Stephen Struve, fucking everyone. He started fighting in 2001.
What's his record?
His record is, I will tell you in a second. Ben Rothwell's record is 38 wins and 12 losses.
It's a pretty decent record.
A fucking good record, man.
What's that, roughly for every three wins, he loses one?
Yeah.
I know maths isn't your strong suit, but we'll go for roughly that.
Just yeah, you're correct, it's not. He's won his last two against Owen St. Bruin and Stefan Struve as well, which is obviously good.
You love OSP, don't you? You love all the OSP's fighting.
Oh, I actually loved his last one. I think I have time, but he's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
I think I've just seen him lately when he's been not been good, but he obviously has some good names on his CV.
You've got
Edson Barbosa. Yeah, he's fighting at featherweight again.
He's got to be pretty shredded. And then he's obviously fighting Makwan Amirkani, who fights he fights at the Cabernet's gym as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, Mr. Finland.
Mm-hmm.
He's off a win to Danny Henry in his last one.
Yeah.
The Scottish guy kind of owned him, to be honest. Amir Khani has looked good for years.
Yeah. Also, he's fighting.
Yeah, Edson Barbosa. He looked really good in his last one. I actually thought he won it against Dan Ige. Yeah. I think it was a split decision from.
I think Barbosa got robbed in his last fight.
Yeah, so I think Barbosa is such an exciting fighter to watch. He's actually his record, man. He's lost his last five. It's 5-1, or in his last 1-5, and his last fights, last six fights.
Really?
Yeah, he's lost to Kevin Lee, Khabib, Justin Gaethje, Paul Felder, Dan Ige. Five class fighters.
I suppose so. We're not going to. Yeah. Not going to cry about
that. He won against Dan Hooker, who's obviously good himself.
Yeah.
That'll be a good fight. It's a good co-main. That'll be a stand-up battle as well.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah. And then in the main, you've got Marlon Moraes versus Corey Sandhagen. I think this is for probably the number one contenders. Well, Marlon Moraes is already the one. This is weird how they work it. So Marlon Moraes is the number one contender. But he's not, because he's not getting the title shot. Aljamain Sterling is.
Aljamain Sterling deserved the title shot, though.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the winner of this will probably face Aljamain Sterling or Petr Yan, depending on who wins that fight.
Petra.
So Marlon Moraes could fight Aljamain Sterling. But they have fought before, actually. And Corey Sandhagen's fought. So they all kind of fought each other before.
Yeah, it's not a deep weight category, is it?
I think it is out with that little mix. It is. You obviously got.
But you're kind of your top bracket guys, your gatekeepers seem to always kind of like your guys at the top 10, 9, 8. They always kind of seem to fend off the guys that are kind of coming through, and then so you never really see too much kind of progressing through that. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm glad Cody Garbrandt's not fighting that way. I think him trying to make that way would be dangerous.
Yeah. I think you'd just miss it and it would just be a letdown on the card.
You've also got, as you mentioned, Bellator. This is the first ever live professional kind of promotion to go to France. So it's quite cool for Bellator to do that, but it's quite a shame that a low number of fans are going to be there.
Yeah.
So it's weird how this way this card works, man. So I don't know if you can see my screen right now, but you've obviously got Mike Page versus Ross Houston. Ross Houston, this is the main event of the kind of Euro series. And they don't even have a picture of Ross Houston on the website again, which pisses me off. This is his first fight in Bellator. He was a Cage Warriors champ before this at welterweight. Been waiting to see him in a promotion like this for years. So this is really exciting.
He's getting thrown to the absolute who's who, though, isn't he?
Yeah. He wanted that man. He was like, give me the best in the world. I am one of the best in the world, so give me like for like.
I hope and pray that he smashes MVP. I don't like MVP. He's, once again, I like an entertainer the same as the next person, but it's when it goes to the point of being disrespectful, like MVP in the ring, where it's like, he could beat the guys and he could beat them a lot quicker, but instead he likes to kind of like make them look bad rather than make himself look good. And that sounds stupid, but there's actually like quite a bit of meaning behind that. Like, he could make himself look better by finishing these guys, but instead he likes to try and embarrass them, which it just doesn't impress. Like, I don't like it.
That's probably why he's a big name that he has, and he's got the following that he does, and he's getting paid for what he does.
A lot of people
like assholes. Goes into it. Ross Houston's never tasted victory, never tasted defeat, never tasted victory. It's fucking 8-0. So it'll be interesting to see how he fares. So, as you say, absolutely tough fight for his first one in Bellator. This fight's just got no promotion, not as much as it should anyway. It's only been made like two weeks ago, announced. It's just not enough even for media to get behind it and for people to get behind it.
I find it so frustrating. Like Bellator, like, frustrate the life out of me as a brilliant promotion, and for some reason it just keeps Disney want the guys we've said this before. Bellator almost relies on the fighters to promote themselves rather than like as a promotion try to promote it, and it's stupid. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you've obviously got the former Cage Warner champion Mads Burnell fighting as well on the card. It'll be good to see him back in action. He was kind of a four-fight win streak in Cage Warriors before he joined Bellator. He was in the UFC as well. His last loss in the UFC was to Arnold Allen. So he had three fights.
I love Arnold Allen fighting. He's absolutely awesome.
What's his dad's name again?
I can't remember, but he's a short, wee, like, bald guy.
Yeah, he's got a peach of a name. Who else we've got fighting? Ryan Scope out of Sunderland, who I thought he beat one of the Pitbull brothers when he fought them a while back. He's one to watch. He's exciting. We've also got Oliver Enkamp as well, who's kind of been around for a while. He's quite exciting to watch as well. So that, yeah, there's quite a lot of good fights. That's the main card, but that's on the kind of the Euro series part of it.
Arnold Allen's dad is called Pacer Allen.
Pacer Allen, class. What a name.
I didn't remember it. I googled it.
And so you've got MVP fighting.
Buy tickets. Do you see that? They're actually like saying you can buy tickets on their website.
Yeah, there's 5,000 people allowed to go. But yeah, so the main card for Ross Houston at MVP is on at 11 in the morning. What? Which is insane. And you've got Chet Kyongo versus Tim Johnson on the main card of the American series, you know, Saul Rogers fighting as well. Yeah, not sure how this Terry Brazier. They don't explain what channels the cards are on either. It jumps about from YouTube to Sky Sports to Channel 5.
To Channel 5, and well, I didn't mind it on YouTube because then I can watch YouTube and then like on one TV and then have my iPad set up and then my phone for watching, you know, like I did with the Cage Warrior stuff, but. Yeah, Bellator need to get their finger out. Was I right in saying that Bellator's been is now part or going to be part of Paramount Network or something like that? I think they've been taken over by like quite a big network or something like that.
Yeah, they are going to be broadcast on a big network. I don't know how that affects us though. I don't think it does. That's obviously just for the US listeners.
But you would think it would translate. You know, if they're doing a bigger promotion, it'll become more organised and all the rest of it. Hopefully.
Yeah, totally. Obviously, we got a few pieces of good news today in terms of people going to be on the show. So we had Ian Garry, Aidan Lee, Confirm that they're going to be on the show in the next few weeks, which is really exciting.
Carl says that he was happy to come back on. Mason says he's more than happy to come back on. Chris Duncan, he says he's more than happy to come back on.
Oh, that's cool, man.
They're all sound guys.
Yeah. Totally right. I'm obviously have Aiden on this coming Thursday. So yeah, that's kind of it for this weekend's cards. Another kind of stacked weekend. Yep. I like when both Bellator and UFC are on, because it just means you can watch it Saturday, a bit of Sunday. Piss off the bird by watching MMA constantly. Make them watch it. Watch this bit. Have you seen this fight? Look at this punch. She looks at you like, don't care.
And then when we meet up, we then sit and talk about it, and they just hate it.
Yeah. I'm trying to do the podcast tonight, and she was like, "Well, you never said you're doing a podcast." I was like, "What? Did I have to fucking ask for permission?" Like,
you better hope she can't hear you, mate. You'll be sleeping on that couch.
She doesn't have a couch. She's downstairs. couch probably comfier. I'm still sleeping on a bed on the floor.
Mate, I told you, like squatters' rights doesn't apply in Scotland.
I'm going to order a bed for IKEA, but fuck, you should see me try to build furniture. Actually, you know how I would rip you about being a sparky and changing light bulbs? It's actually pretty hard. There's different bits for different light bulbs and different light bulbs for different placement, you call them.
I've seen you try and change light bulbs, mate. It didn't work. I had to come and do it for you.
I ripped thing at the plaster.
Yep, okay, so back on Thursday, it won't be a long one on Thursday, obviously just doing interviews and whatnot. It should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it already.
Yeah, me too, man. Obviously be here next week to speak about the fights as well, but hope everyone enjoys them this weekend. Take care. Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys. How you know, man?